these extra agendas right here, I actually didn't print them.
Park Rec Forestry Committee meeting, Tuesday, October 27th, 6:35. Call the meeting to order at 6:35. We'll do a roll call. Lee is excused. David, excused. Bob?
This Bob?
That Bob?
The only Bob, I guess.
The only Bob now.
I'm here.
Bob's here. Martha?
Here.
Angela?
Here.
Kelsey?
Here.
And Trustee Rob Atwood is absent. Also present, Chris Clark and Matt Hahn. All right. Can we get a motion to modify and adopt the agenda?
Do we need to modify or just adopt that?
Adopt.
Okay, yes. I move to adopt the agenda.
Can we get a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All right. All right. Approval of the September 22nd, 2015 minutes. If they look good, can I get a motion to approve?
A motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Angela. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Next on the agenda, public appearances. No one here. So on
way
to...
different story last night.
Heard about that. So it was a very interesting meeting I understood. So. Yeah. All right. Item number five, information. Introduction of new committee member, Kelsey Prescott. Tell us a little about yourself, where you're from originally, and what your interests are, hobbies, things like that.
Originally from Michigan. My parents still live in Ludington, Michigan, just the other side of the Badger. Mm-hmm. I had to take the Lake Express back yesterday, so because the Badger stopped running.
Okay.
Visit over there a lot. But I just moved from Colorado about a year ago, Colorado Springs, with my husband and she was then 3-month-old baby. My husband got a job. He works with the Karma Group, ad agency downtown. My background is I graduated with a degree in environmental studies from the University of Vermont many years ago, was in the Peace Corps for a little while, and then moved to Colorado and started working in television, which is kind of the family business. Worked for a Fox affiliate for a while in sales, and then moved into PBS. So I worked for Rocky Mountain PBS in Colorado for about 3.5 years, 7 years total there, and then we just really missed the Midwest. I really missed the eastern deciduous forest and water. Nobody tells you that Colorado is a desert. So we were really focusing on Wisconsin. Never thought we'd end up in Green Bay. We were like Madison or Milwaukee, and this is just ended up being the perfect spot for us. Bought a house and live just on the other side of 172. So loving it. I love to run and go for walks in the woods and swim and paddleboard and spend most of our day outside when I'm home with my daughter. I just started a business out of my home, Canary Bird Digital, doing digital marketing for small businesses. So that's just only 1 month old. We're sort of in the new phases, but excited to be here. I sent Chris an email. I didn't send you an email. I sent somebody an email.
Yeah, I think just to our general email.
Saying, is there a Friends Of group that I can join? I've noticed buckthorn is a huge problem in this area, and I'd love to, be a part of that or in, restoring the river and getting, some recreation going on the river, and East River. And he said, no, we don't have that. Would you like to start one? So I thought I'd start with the committee.
And by the way, we have an opening on the committee.
So
come aboard.
Glad to be here.
Well, welcome. Welcome. Let the record reflect Rob Atwood joined at 6:40. Welcome, Mr. Atwood.
wearing my coaching hat.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, that's quite all right.
We had one kid that got abandoned. It was like, I ended practice early so I could get here, and it was just like, Caden, where's your ride? Well, I don't know.
No, that's quite all right.
I have a policy. I don't leave any
no.
kid at the
Understandable.
Gym until the parent gets there.
Understandable. So. Okay, on to item B, introduction of our new recreation coordinator, Matt Hahn. Matt, tell us a little about yourself.
As Chris said, I'm Matt. I grew up in the city of Milwaukee, graduated from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse with a recreation management degree. Started out of college, started working for the Village of Bellevue as the recreation supervisor there. Was there for just over 5 years, and the opportunity opened up to come over here to Alloway and work for Chris and Brad and bring some of the ideas that I started over in Bellevue over to Alloway and bring some of the recreational programming things. So.
And we're very excited to have Matt on board. We are already looking at new programs for next year, and I think their future looks really bright and exciting, especially for our kids and senior programs and things like that. So, welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Okay, item six. I don't have any reports, so we'll move on to seven. Discuss comprehensive outdoor rec plan. First one there is review our goals and objectives for the plan. At last meeting, I handed out the goals and objectives, some ideas, and go ahead and pass those around. And wanted to see if the committee had any input or any thoughts on any of those goals and objectives.
Anything different from the ones you passed out last time?
I don't believe so. I might have just cleaned it up a little bit as far as...
I have my notes on this one.
Yeah, the wordage, the verbiage wasn't any different. Okay. Just cleaned it up a little bit.
Okay.
Not quite so draft looking. So, but so I'll open it up. You know, if everyone has had a chance to look at it since the last meeting. Any thoughts or comments on the different goals that were mentioned here that we're looking at for a comprehensive outdoor rec plan?
Very well laid out.
Oh,
yes,
thank you.
Is.
Thank you. And the goals are pretty broad and encompass quite a bit, but I think it reflects on what we're trying to accomplish, and as well as gives us a little flexibility to be able to maneuver and come up with new and great ideas to accomplish those goals.
So. And eventually you just put a priority on which items will be
mm-hmm.
done along the way.
Right, exactly, and that's what the meat and potatoes of the
sure.
plan is.
Yep.
Is, okay, what do we want to see in our park areas to achieve these goals, and how do we prioritize them and use our dollars wisely. So.
I just have a couple notes I'll,
sure.
I'll bring up. And on the second goal, I was looking at the survey results.
Okay.
And there were a number of comments about maintaining trails during the winter or some winter activities.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe something mentioned about kind of full season recreational opportunities, like maybe expand full seasonal recreational opportunities or something
okay.
to that effect, just so that we're kind of aware that there are maybe opportunities to look at more recreation availability in the winter.
Need to get people outside in the winter time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I had more of a question
sure.
on the third one. So we have develop and promote water-based recreation, and from the objectives, that's more focused on the natural water bodies in the village. But I was wondering if that would incorporate some of our talk about maybe offering a pool or a splash pad, if there's some way to work that in, and maybe it's a separate goal.
And actually, in the new handout
that I put in,
last bullet point, I actually added that in there. Explore recreational aquatic facilities within the community.
Okay.
So initially I had them separated, but I figured, well, it's all kind of water-based, so I
should check to see if you have my third thing here addressed. Okay, so under the promote and preserve the community's natural resources and the green spaces, I thought maybe something along the lines of support the implementation of green infrastructure to protect water resources. And you can wordsmith that however, but you get the general idea on that.
To protect, correct?
Water resources.
Okay. Yeah. So that I'm clear, give me an idea of what you're thinking.
Maybe stream buffers or even when we look at our stormwater facilities rather than just a detention pond, maybe a restored wetland or just kind of more natural ways to address primarily stormwater runoff, but there could be other runoff pollutants that we're concerned with that we could use maybe more natural ways to address those.
Okay, sure, great.
Is there a cross community participation in helping to maintain something like that? I mean, obviously, maintaining it just in LOA isn't
right. There's regulations that every community has to abide by. You know, regulations from the state level, DNR, different agencies. And from my experience in municipal government, it seems to me that a lot of the local communities tend to get together and do the same types of things. They do a lot of intergovernmental sharing of ideas and resources and things like that. As far as implementation of, say, shared stormwater facilities. That I'm not aware of, but I'm sure that if it made sense and was cost effective, that would be something, you know, to look into. I know that bigger communities, well, Green Bay, for instance, they're always looking at ways to try to get more cooperation of services with the local surrounding other communities. So that's definitely something that is worth, you know, bringing to the table.
Yeah. Do committees talk to committees? I mean, I'm not sure if there are other committees like this. And
oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't speak for every staff member, but myself, I have a lot of friends and colleagues in other communities around here. They do the same thing I do, and we talk all the
right,
time.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, sure.
So we're always sharing ideas and balancing things off each other. Why reinvent the wheel if somebody else has already done it and it makes sense? So, great.
I have one question about on the forest goal about the promote bicycling and pedestrian facilities.
Sure.
The safe routes to schools. Was involved with that a little bit a couple years ago when, and I know it's a super extensive plan, but some of that addresses some of the same things, like as far as connecting roads to schools, like putting cut-through paths and things like that. Do you know where the village is at with that plan? I know they said it was like a multi-year plan, but do you know?
I don't. I know that they do have a project on the table right now to do in the next year or two, you think? Is it next year? I think it is next year.
You know, I was just looking at it in the budget yesterday.
Well, then it must be next year.
Yeah. Well, the budget now is encompassing a five-year plan.
Sure.
So I apologize. That meeting started at 5 and ended at 10. I don't know what we talked about.
yeah, I know that they are, you know, continuing to work on it as they can. The bicycle and pedestrian plan, they formed a committee that they just began working on that to update that plan.
Okay.
And And in speaking with a consultant and, you know, looking at what we want to do with this plan, rather than putting those type of things, you know, into our plan, why not work with existing plans that are already out there and just reference them and let the committees and experts that are working on them, you know, come up with those. So,
who's charged with implementing the Safe Routes to School plan?
Our Public Works Department.
Okay. Are they putting in a grant? Because that funding just opened up right now.
I don't know. We'd have to talk to Craig about that and find out. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, it's worth putting in a grant application to try to get some of that funded.
Exactly.
It seems like a lot of the same things, you know, a lot of the connector trails and the same things that you want for pedestrians and bikers are encompassed in that plan.
Exactly. Could I have Craig get in touch with you? Do you have that info on that?
Well, somebody at my agency.
Okay.
I don't really do the TAP funding myself, but I know we just mentioned that it just opened up. So.
Good. I'll make a note of that to meet to Craig. So. Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Just one on that fourth goal as well. It looks like all of the objectives are, and correct me if I'm wrong, more geared towards paved trails. Are there, you know, is it necessary to have anything in there related to natural trails?
I don't know that we would necessarily need to spell it out. Those are things that can be looked at as a project comes up. I know that initially, for instance, expansion of Sunset Park. One of the ideas is to put a trail up along the river in an area that where we started clearing buckthorn this year. And initially, that's still going to be looked at as more of like a natural trail or a wood chip type of a trail. One thing we have to be careful of and make sure that we accommodate are any accessibility issues with regards to Americans with disability. You know, make sure that anything that we install, you know, that we abide by any of the regulations that would require that. So, and we're also, you know, some areas we may not be able to put hard surface into. You know, if it's in a wetland area, you know, it may end up having to be boardwalk or just a natural footpath type trail. Where we can't put a hard surface or fill or anything like that. So, especially along the East River on any of those areas.
I just have one minor thing. The very last goal, the third objective, you're missing a period.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, I can put you to work. Some of my stuff. I have a tendency to ramble on it. Maybe back and fix the punctuation.
Write a lot of plans, I guess.
No, I admire that.
I usually catch those things. I'm that
you
way
can't
as
catch
well.
Everything.
I know.
You never can. That's why it's nice to have other people looking at
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So, okay, great. Those are great ideas. Thank you very much. And we'll look at some of that. Okay, anything else with regards to those? Great. All right. The next item was also an item that we were looking at last meeting, was a departmental mission statement, something that kind of says who we are as a Park, Rec, and Forestry Department and, you know, what we're here to do. I had handed out several ideas. Let me pass these out.
Sure.
And the bolded one at the bottom was kind of a combination of several that one of my staff members came up with, and I thought it was a very good idea. Matt, nice job. And I thought that kind of encompassed the type of things we're looking at. So, once again, any ideas, thoughts, questions with regards to
I like the last one. I think enjoyment, health, and well-being could be just narrowed down to enjoyment and health.
Okay.
I feel like well-being is kind of encompassed in enjoyment and health.
I too like the last one, but it's with any mission statement. It's just words until they're implemented.
Sure.
You know, it's the actions that really put them into play,
mm-hmm.
and that is going to be the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's with anything.
Sure.
I see sometimes a lot of time spent on a mission statement, more time than is actually
being
lived.
Right.
You know.
Right. Like I had mentioned at the last meeting, the one that we had used prior to this was just a village mission statement, which really didn't reflect on what we were looking to do for the community.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects on what we as village government is trying to accomplish, but not necessarily, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. So,
had it been discussed at all, I think the fourth one down is a little bit more geared towards this idea, but, you know, sort of that deep ecology view that, you know, nature has an intrinsic value on its own without being valuable to people. But just to, you know, it says being stewards and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But was that discussed at all, just to not provide it necessarily as an opportunity, as one of the components of the mission, but to, you know, maintain it because of its own value?
Mm. Yeah, not
the value
right.
of biodiversity, I guess, and that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah, it really hadn't come up, you know, as far as an explanation or an idea.
I also like the last one, and with the changes, health and well-being, I would agree that it's there, very similar. The only one change I recommend with that, and I don't feel real strongly about it, so if nobody else likes it, that's fine, but since you already have parks, outdoor maybe is a bit redundant, so I kind of like bringing back the green spaces from another one and instead saying provide parks, recreation, and green space opportunities.
Okay.
But again, sure. I think it's great the way it is too, so just suggestion.
I think that's one of those words, depending on who you ask it.
It could
be interchangeable.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other?
I was just thinking about what Kelsey said too, and I wonder if there's a way that you couldn't combine them. And I mean, I agree with what Rob said too, like spending a lot of time on it, but I wonder if it could be something like, you know, and this is just on the spot, but like provides parks, recreation, and responsible stewardship of green spaces to all. Just something like to that nature that can encompass what you were saying.
Yeah, a little bit. And I mean, to really take it to the end of it, it is not even a stewardship. It is that it's not... It is stewardship, but it's not for the purpose of benefiting any human in particular. It's just to benefit the natural state of things. But
mm-hmm.
I agree. I like that idea of adding stewardship in.
Then you can almost just make it like provide parks, recreation, outdoor stewardship, and just leave it at that. You know, because that would.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying to all, then that's just kind of providing the stewardship.
Yeah. That's great.
Provide parks, recreation, and...
Just an idea.
Outdoor opportunities. Or outdoor stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about opportunities.
What about if you said provide and maintain... Do you feel like maintain gets at that stewardship enough?
Yeah, I think one is stewardship is a little bit more I don't know, when I think of the difference between the word stewardship and the word maintenance, one sounds very functional.
I would agree with you. But thinking from kind of a parks department on
right.
what your responsibility and what your charge would be, you're being good stewards to the parks and open space by, you know, maintaining them, keeping invasive species out of them, stuff like that. So I just don't know how to word it. How to word stewardship in there. I'm sitting there trying to wordsmith and trying to figure out how to fit that in. And
mm-hmm.
I like that those ideas. I think I would almost be better to sit down at my desk tomorrow and play with those.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
On the
you know,
spot, I'm like,
how,
oh, here's an idea. I don't know how you change
it. See
how
they
it,
would
yeah.
sound the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like those. So, okay. I think we can work with that. Does that sound okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll
good.
Spend
no,
too much time.
No, I think that
somebody
those are all
some
great
coffee.
Ideas. I'm sure Rob doesn't want to be here till 10 o'clock tonight.
I just have round two tomorrow on the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly. So.
I have a cot in the back.
Hey, you guys great. Have pizza at least. We were here in Plant Mission.
Yeah.
No pizza.
Yeah. Was that as spirited as I heard it was?
It was. Yeah. I got a little rowdy.
I know. I got called for a quote on it today, and I said, you know, there were a lot of people in that meeting that could provide a better quote.
All right, on to item C, review and comment on the draft plan. We can, I don't know if we really need to, if I can do it. I'm gonna pull up here.
I would imagine.
Did you get?
I just want to go at night.
This whole
yeah.
thing is
oh, the whole thing.
Yeah. Pretty brutal, though.
As far as
I know, my brain had to shut off long before 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
There we go. Computer was just sleeping. So, other than Kelsey, because I don't know if you really had a whole lot of chance to take a look at it. Well, really, I guess no one had a real long time to take a look at it at this point. Less than a week.
I tip my hat here. This is really, I mean, when you want to sit down and you want to present a plan and you want to look at a plan and you want to review a plan,
mm-hmm.
this is a great place to start because all of the elements were really in here. I mean, nice job.
Right.
Nice
and job. And what we actually did is we trimmed it down for this portion that we gave you. And, you know, just gave you what we thought was important. We, you know, as part of the plan, we've got all of these community description and there's a lot of other sections that we didn't, you know, that's going to be standard stuff. So we excluded that at this point. Really thought the important things for the committee to take a look at is goals and objectives. You know, look at what we have, kind of the layout of what it looks like for what we have for our current park and rec facilities. A few maps in here that just, you know, give us, give an idea of where these park areas are located in the community. And then the service area map, which is the one with the nice pretty circles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the recommendations
mm-hmm.
of some of the things that we were looking at, both from staff perspective, but also from you know community perspective through our surveys and different things like that. So if anything jumps out, feel free. Otherwise, I think you know we'll kind of go through this a little bit. I'm not going to go page by page.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you a kind of layout. And then what we want to do is we're going to make a decision tonight when we may want to change the meeting next month. But that meeting next month we'll have everybody's input as far as things we would want to make sure we see in here, so that we can get a final draft to the committee. And our idea is by the December meeting, we would like to have approval from this committee of a final. And then one of the meetings in January, then approval by the village board. So just because we don't want to drag it out too long, otherwise you kind of lose interest and you lose the get up and go to get it done, I guess. But so that's kind of the timeline we're shooting for. Goals and objectives, we just went through those. What I had here is I went ahead and they put them in here. What I'll do is I'll make sure that I make those changes, get those to them, and we'll have those included in here. The next section, like I said, is our existing outdoor rec facilities inventory. Lists out the different parks we have, what amenities are at these parks, what opportunities are at each facility.
Where is Webster Park in this list?
Webster is actually Patrick Henry Martin Webster Park.
Yeah, that's a long
sports complex.
Page 20.
And that is right next door to Bob's house.
Yes.
So.
Oh my gosh, I looked at that 3 times and I didn't pick it up. So, sorry.
Webster's the only one of the 6 or 7 words in there.
Because you were looking for Webster, probably.
Right. Well, I was, and I was looking for. Was it named Alloway Park at one time?
I don't know.
Not that I know of. I've been there 40 some years.
Webster County. Yeah.
So, like I said, this section just explains what we currently have at our facilities. In going through this section, there was only one thing I noticed that we need to correct. At our Green Isle Park, our skating rink is not lighted currently, so we're going to change that to just a skating rink. But other than that, it lays out all of our different facilities there. We also included in that section other rec facilities, which is the Fox River Trail. It's a state trail operated and maintained by Brown County Parks Department.
I should mention that somewhere, I think, that it is a state trail.
Fox River State Trail?
Yeah, I think any one of these facilities where it's not actually an Alloway facility maybe should stay that, whether it's a state facility, Heritage Hill, obviously it's a state park, and then East River Parkway, I don't think Alloway owns any of that, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, we do.
East River Parkway we own, yes. St. Francis Park is the only other area, which is
and that does mention it, I notice it does say it's a county park, so maybe just the Fox River Trail needs to be clarified as...
Sure.
Even though 2.9 acres in Alloway, we don't own any of that.
And that's not correct either. 2.9 miles.
It says it down below, but...
Yeah, good catch.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Yeah, 2.9, okay.
So I'll make sure that we change that. And then we also included at the bottom, we just listed out the different school locations and parks. The reason we included those is because every one of those schools has a playground. And kids don't care if it's a school, a church, or a municipal park.
They just
playground's
see a playground.
A playground.
Mm-hmm. And when they're young enough, they don't even know if it's a privately owned park.
Right,
yeah, they just see it.
So
Don always wants to go to people's yards.
So I wanted that included in here because if those are, if the radius of where those are located, actually encompasses a neighborhood and the neighborhood utilizes it as a park. Mm-hmm. Should we as the municipality necessarily look to try to accommodate those same things in that area when they're already being offered? So
should they list locations then? I mean, I think they're on the map.
They're on the map, so I think that
that's good enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, then the next page there is our park location map. And as you can see, it has them broken out into the different types of parks. Neighborhood parks are red. Community park, which is, you know, a larger draw because of the what is offered in that park. And also special use areas, which can have some of the neighborhood park things in it, but it's typically those are more sports oriented, or you know, things like maybe a water park or, you know, something specific. So greenways and trails.
I have a minor thing on the map.
Sure.
If there's something Rebecca can do to actually make the text in that purple color readable.
Oh, sure.
Maybe, like, switch it to white text that one or something.
Oh, and even blue, maybe.
Yeah, something sure. To actually make it readable.
No, great idea. Or Halo.
Yeah. Halo.
Great. Then the next map there is our service area map. This is one of the key components that shows what our where our parks are located and what service area that those parks are reaching. You know, typically, a neighborhood park, as it mentions there, is a half mile radius, and we put the same thing with the schools because of the offering there of the playground. You know, that's typically what you're looking at for that type of a facility. And as you can see, once it's a little busy with the overlaps in that, but once you look at that, you can see that a lot of the community is covered one way or another within walking distance, with the exception of some of the busy street crossings, which hopefully you know, will be looked at in some of our other redevelopment ideas down the road. But with the exception of that northwest corner of the community, and I think that's always been an issue, a concern that it doesn't have any coverage. But we possibly have some potential down the road in some redevelopment down in that area that we could, you know, offer something.
I have a question on that, Paul.
Sure.
Okay, so coming from the regional planning background,
sure.
I used to not looking at the jurisdictional boundaries.
Right.
Are you aware of any parks that are maybe just across the border that might
be
serving?
We did look at that,
okay.
And there wasn't anything that close.
Okay.
That, as well as that, there's a little corner down towards Deep Pier. I told him to take
and
a look at that, too.
Neither one of those are really served at all.
And there was nothing that close.
Okay. It's like the Astor Park neighborhood right here, like right.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Well, I think the park is farther up, though.
Aldo Leopold's right over there.
We can double-check and take another look at that, but you're right.
Yeah, if you were looking at school parks, then Aldo might come.
And that might be true as well, because, once again, kids don't look at
municipal
boundaries.
Yeah, and it'd be nice just to know before you focus on trying to get something in there.
Sure.
Although I'd advocate for another park too, but
It's never.
Yeah, right.
But I'm
okay.
All that's it wouldn't be.
It's in Green Bay.
Yeah,
but it might be serving some of that area.
And the trail doesn't count, I guess.
Not really. Not for the type of offerings you're looking for play and things like that.
Yeah, it really gets thin through there, though. I don't know.
There's not a lot of potential.
Yeah, there's not.
No.
I mean,
but some of the
railroad, you got a tavern, you got Catholic Diocese, you got Jimmy C's, and it gets real narrow. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Sure. You know,
that's what we're talking right on that northwest corner.
Right. There's a couple of open areas up in that area that are undeveloped currently. And then that's one of the highly sought or looked at for redevelopment along the waterfront. Is there a potential to include something there? Mm-hmm. You know,
St. Francis Park doesn't have a playground?
Mm-hmm. No.
Bike rack that doubles as a playground for kids.
Okay.
There's, there are some
the fitness little things.
Fitness things that double as bird perches.
For some reason, I guess I
But, yeah, no, that's a good idea about the school right there.
I wonder why the county didn't put something in right there at St. Francis Park, like a little tiny play structure.
I think because there's no access to it other than being on the trail. There's no parking.
Well, and there is
per se. There is a
lot,
parking lot there,
right?
But it's not public.
Huh.
Oh.
So.
I didn't know that wasn't public.
Right. Everybody uses it.
Yeah, I've
public.
There's a lease hanging out there all the time.
And there's no access. That I don't know. I'd have to take a look. But yeah, and there's no access trail or path to connect
no,
it.
Really.
They'd have to, you know, I'd have to put something in. It's been talked about, you know, quite a bit. You know, on
yeah, given
finding
that
a way
lot,
to
it seems like it would be almost
right.
an easy fix.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but it's there, so there's some potential.
Yeah.
And things to look at. So. But yeah, we'll definitely take a look at what's in Green Bay right there.
And as far as the Dupierre, the corner right by Dupierre, like what streets would those be right there? Like Webster and is that LeBrun?
There's LeBrun. And Kenny, I think, is the first one in. So, yeah, it's right behind Austin Street.
Oh, would that be served by that CP Center has a park behind them?
Do they?
Yes, they do. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's a nice park.
It's only, you can only use it when it's not in session.
I think that's too far.
That must be the only times I've gone there because I've never seen anybody there.
That'd be too far anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like,
yeah. Okay. That's a little, probably looks like about 3/4 of a mile.
Okay.
But they do have a park.
That I didn't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's all ADA stuff.
Yeah.
Like Optimus.
Right.
Great for toddlers.
Yeah.
Oh. Any you go to any community and you come across a playground that has the rubber surfacing, it's the most popular playground in the whole community.
Yeah.
So if you notice as we go through here, those are that is mentioned at every park that has a playground as a long term. No options. So. All right. On to the next section. These are general recommendations, kind of a broad spectrum of what's recommended that we take a look at in the community. These are all listed alphabetically. That first one, acquisition and development of parkland, that talks about, you know, trying to accommodate that what we had just talked about, that you know mm-hmm. that one portion of the community as well as you know, there was a couple of slivers down along Riverside Drive. Accessibility guidelines, something that every park plan has because every park community that has parks has to update and you know keep in compliance with ADA. So aquatic facilities, again, talks about looking at that our community lacks it and looking at, you know, the feasibility of pool or spray grounds or you know, splash pad type thing. Mm-hmm. Community beautification and urban forestry, that talks about, you know, our urban forestry program, beautification, landscaping. Recommendation is that... should implement an urban forest management plan and then beautification projects, you know, include, you know, plantings and things like that. So, community center discusses or talks a little bit more about looking at the feasibility of doing some renovations to that to maximize its usage.
Yeah, I had a question on that, and it actually came up at the budget meeting yesterday, too. What is the rent for that facility?
What we charge?
Yeah. What do we rent that out for?
It's a $100 deposit, yes?
Yes.
Right? And then it's 52.
I think it's 52.
52,
yeah.
50 now for the first four hours, and then a $10 fee for every hour after that. It was $52.75, but with the Brown County thing dropping the...
Yeah, so it's right around $50. that's something that we are going to look at in the next year as well as our fee structures and all of our offerings, whether it's rental fees or programming, and making sure that we're up to par with those. So,
Because I know one of the things that came up, and I brought it up, was mm-hmm. the feasibility study in the budget on that.
Sure.
I really think that's something that we can, as a committee, do our own common sense study on
sure.
what. I'm just saying, you know, to have somebody come in and pay them $12,000, and maybe this isn't the venue to discuss this, but do you want to discuss it?
It doesn't matter. No, yeah, we can go ahead.
I'm just thinking that facilities like that in Green Isle Park and some other facilities that we have, I think as a committee we can really kind of come. We got a pretty savvy staff sitting here. I don't think we need to take a valuable resource of that money and have somebody else to tell us how it's best used.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I do. There are components that we need to make sure that we cover, though, that we may not have the professional background, whether that's engineering aspects, for that facility.
For renovating.
Yeah.
For renovating, I might agree with you.
But no, the historical perspective.
I think we can kind of come up with
And I agree ideas. With you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for things like that.
I mean, I've seen various things take place there, and they always seem to lack a little bit of community involvement, when they get going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yoga classes, that would have been a great resource for yoga mm-hmm. classes. You know,
right.
They just don't,
right.
You know.
And if in that facility in particular, if you've ever walked into it, the only usable space for the community is about one quarter of that whole building. Because of the way it's laid out, it's an old facility, a bunch of little rooms. And
we utilize it for voting and
correct.
For Alloway Buccaneers use it. We
right.
utilize it
their
for
storage
team meetings and storage.
And that. So Village Band, uses it for storage and that. But there's some potential there. It's something to take a look at, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
And that. So.
I had it tabbed off. I just wanted to make
No,
it.
That's good. That's good. That's what we're here for. Federal and state aid programs. Something that we'll continue to look at. The plan itself puts us in compliance to eligibility for trying to get some of that state and federal funding. Other funding considerations, looking at it's the essential ingredient to implementation and recommendations. So. Of any finances, on how are we going to pay for what we're looking at in here, improvements or that. So a lot of different avenues to look at from, to start off at one end from, our general revenue taxes all the way up to look at donation sponsorships, naming rights, things like that. I think that in this day and age, we need to take a look at all of them, and see some things, may work and try to get grant aid where possible, where it works out, and so that the community doesn't have to necessarily pay for everything. So, next item: invasive species, buckthorn, but that's not the only one. We village should look at an invasive species management plan. Two things that I noticed right away, buckthorn and phragmites, are things that can really take away from what we have to offer if left unchecked.
And I almost wonder if this needed to be expanded slightly just to include a general education plan in the community.
Oh, okay.
I mean, none of my neighbors had any idea what buckthorn was.
Sure.
And I was like, this stuff isn't pretty. Let's go.
Sure.
Let's go.
So sure.
I don't know if that wouldn't necessarily be something for Parks and Rec, but of course affects
right.
all of the parks if it's growing
right.
in everybody's backyard.
Right. No, good point. And, I think that's, something that can be a component of a management plan is the educational aspect of it. And, I think you're right. Years ago, everybody planted buckthorn in their landscapes. So they hear buckthorn invasive species, they think the same thing. So, and until you go out and you notice that it's the predominant plant in an area, it really doesn't, it's hard to understand. So, but Next item, parking. That was one of the large items that was discussed, had come up in, you know, in survey, and that, you know, especially looking at a lot of our park facilities and the age of them. You know, we're an older community. Parks are older. You know, years ago when the parks were developed, there wasn't a need, but I think there's a lot more need now. And the parking facilities that we do have are getting pretty aged, so we need to make sure that we have a plan on how to maintain those and make sure that we have adequate facilities for the future. So.
It's too bad that you couldn't develop temporary parking, you know, because there's so many areas that during real peak times, you know, they really get taxed heavily, and then both. You know, for the other 10 months of the year, they're never touched.
Right.
Oh, and too bad you couldn't do it where it was, you know, not linear either, you know. If it was somewhere you could go up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because a lot of spots were very congested already.
Yeah. Webster Park.
Exactly.
Example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's one of the, well, you know, probably one of the highest used parks during the summertime, and there's no park.
As long as they coordinate so baseball and football don't coincide at the same time.
Do my best.
I'll tell you what, I've been in this community a lot of years too, and that has not changed. Mm-hmm. That is, that you just plan on that. Yeah, I feel sorry for those people that live on that street. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like they should charge a toll.
Speed bumps will help too.
Okay.
But I think there's potential for parking there. Mm-hmm. It's just finding the money to put it there.
Right.
You know, and it's just because even as you come in, you know, to the top part of that ball diamond, you know, if you were to take all that grassy area right there and angle park, you know, you just put gravel down if you had to. It'd keep people off the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I go up there and it's so congested that people don't even consider trying to do a Y turn because it's more of an A through Z turn that you have to do because it's so crowded up there that people just drive in the grass and they in order to turn around. And it's
as long as it's not muddy.
But people don't realize the difference between that. So and they do it anyway.
They had the rescue squad there once football.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get out because, you know, the fire truck comes around.
Yeah.
So they had to go up past the tennis courts and over and out that way.
Yeah.
Gee. Well, there's a perfect example of making sure that our facilities, you know, we have not only for our users, but emergency.
Yeah.
You know, how can they get in there at peak times when they have to?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
I choose not to be lazy. I go up to Webster School
and walk down. There you go.
So, and I had all the parking I need up there because nobody ever goes up there.
Yeah.
I know they don't. I know they don't. That's why I keep it up because I got a parking spot.
Run
right
a
up
ski
there.
Lift.
Revenue generation.
On a rail lift.
Definitely a safety concern, though. I mean, if your kids are in sports or if you're going to see sports, Broadview is another one.
Yep.
People just park like right out in the fields and. I mean, it's definitely a safety concern for the kids, people driving where there's no parking lot or roads. And I'm not a fan of paving where you don't need to pave, but those two areas, Webster Park, is
so
like once
that,
you get back in there, you're like,
can
you
have
can't
a blow up
out.
Temporary parking spot?
You know, right?
Because that would solve so many problems, but you can't do it. You know, I
use
don't
those
know
kind of grassy permeable pavements that still kind of is a green space and still.
Yes. The way I look at those is, yes, they're green, but they're not usable for a lot of other things other than parking. You can't really play on them.
Yeah, that's true. They're not going to be a soft surface.
Yeah, you can't play ball on them or anything like that. So that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that I think we all agree it needs to be looked at. And, you know, we need to find a way to, you know, maximize what we have, you know, and, you know, accommodate. So, okay.
Can we go back to one
sure.
that we had kind of gloss over the aquatic facility.
Okay, sure.
I know that on the surveys, a lot of people had said that they wanted something. My only concern with that is just duplicating services that we have so close to Alloway. Like, not even a mile from here is Duane's Pool,
okay.
You know, towards Green Bay, and that, or in Green Bay, and then the other way is the De Pere Pool.
Sure.
Just across the river is Ashwaubomay. I mean, there are a lot of, the Broadview Y has a beautiful indoor pool. I mean, there are a lot of aquatic facilities, and just for me, I would rather have better green spaces and playgrounds and parking structures than adding a pool, which is going to be a ton of liability insurance too, for things that we have so close to us.
Sure. Yeah, and definitely, and that's, I think, why, as a general recommendation, it's to explore the feasibility. Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, do we look at you know, all these other pools around that, you know, maybe we as a department, you know, work an agreement with them so that our residents get, you know, a good price to utilize those facilities? Or do we look at, okay, they're all offering pools, do we offer something different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a pool, per se. So that's that I think
splash pad would be nice, though.
Is something to definitely take a look at.
I wish
at.
We had one closer.
Mm-hmm.
CP Center, that is located in LA, isn't it? Or is it
yes.
outside? Because they have a pool, and I wonder if there's something you could, you know, work out with them.
Sure.
Because
sure.
the one thing that's nice about having a pool in your own community, because, for instance, I do some of the rec programs in De Pere because they have the pool, and then but you don't get the discount. You pay the full non-resident fee. So if there's something you could work out with a pool that we have in our community but allow us to do, you know, aquatic programming.
Sure, sure, definitely. And like I said, that's what you look at, you know, at things like that for. And
do we still own the pool on Broadview? That's on a long-term
lease for the YMCA. Yes.
That was my understanding, too.
Yeah, that was
the village owns it, but it's a long-term lease. Well, and I shouldn't say long-term. From I thought what Brad said, it was a year-to-year lease or something like that.
I know Brad said 2030-something is when we'd have to relook at that particular lease.
That's what it was. It's a long-term lease, but they pay a dollar a year.
They pay a dollar a year.
Is the way
coming up in 20, 30 something is when that would be over with. That's what
that's what it
is. Sometimes that would need a lot of renovation.
Yeah, exactly.
Hope we're saving that dollar.
Invest it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Where are we? Oh, parkland dedication, naming rights. Should explore a policy or an ordinance. You know, just to make sure that in the future, especially if it comes to naming rights, things like that, for a revenue generator, that we have a policy on plate, you know, on the books that this is how the community wants to go about that. And you know, I think you look at a lot of other communities; they all have them. Just so you know, just because somebody wants to maybe donate some land to us. Is it necessarily something that we would want, you know, or is it a you know, something that would be better, you know, left in private hands? So, something that we should definitely look at. Next item, pet-friendly community. This one is, I think, was a kind of a hot topic if you looked at the survey results as well. Quite a few of the responses, you know, discussed that the community, Green Bay area in general, but wasn't real pet friendly. You know, one of the things that recommendation is to take a look. Is it would it be something that we should, as a community, offer? You know, dog park, something like that, or Bellevue's putting one in. Do we try to work with them and, you know, make it a shared type of a
facility? I wondered about that. Can you put a little bridge from?
And it's been talked about. You know,
that would be cool.
You know, to possibly, as you know, that might be something to look at as a way to accommodate. You know, if they have the land and they have the infrastructure, do we just, you know, help them along the way, and then also make it easier for our residents to access that.
I know that was a big thing when they were working on it. They have the funding now, so they are in the process of actually getting the plans put together and building that. But I know that the big thing was that they wanted to somehow connect the trail with it. So, I mean, coming in and, mm-hmm. you know, working with them as far as putting a bridge in, there's no way that they wouldn't.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. They wouldn't want to have that. So.
Sure, sure. So, yeah.
I would just say one thing mm-hmm. about this. Coming from Colorado, which is incredibly pet-friendly everywhere to almost an annoying degree where there's dogs everywhere and you don't want to set your children down when you're on a trail, the tone in Green Bay of a lot of the signs and the rule boards and stuff, I think I don't necessarily think that the rules are bad, but the tone just seems so anti
okay.
pet. That's the only way I can describe it.
Sure.
But that we've, you know, my husband and I would walk our dog and we'd be like, whoa, you can't bring your dog in here. They'll be really upset with you, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that and, you know, like in Green Isle Park, we'll walk up there. I'll walk the dog on the trail, which is pet friendly as long as you have him on a leash. But then we go to the playground and I got to tie the dog off so Maple can play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is this okay? Where's the pet police? You know, that sort of thing. So I don't know. It's just kind of this overarching fear mentality.
Right. And I think that, and it kind of explains it here too, it might be something that we as a committee, we as the village, take a look at too, is the current ordinances that we have on the books, do they need to be revisited and looked at? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and make some accommodations.
Because I wouldn't necessarily say it needs to be a dog park.
No.
But people just want to be able to take their dog on a 6-foot mm-hmm. leash and remember to clean up its poop.
And unfortunately, the way rules and ordinances come about, because people at one point have been the bad apple
mm-hmm.
and caused it to go that way. And you see it with all sorts of things, not just pets. But, you know, those unfortunately are the way that
mm-hmm.
laws and rules get enacted. But I think it's definitely something to take a look at, that, you know, we as a community need to, you see more and more families that have pets and they, you know, want them to be part of the family and be able to take them out and take them for a walk and, you know, if you can do it responsibly and clean up after your pet. And
man, I'll tell you what, we've had this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a pet peeve of mine. I'm an avid walker, and I do walk with our dog all the time. My wife runs with the dog, and she walks with the dog, and the dog is one of the most fit dogs.
Yeah,
can I drop my dog off at your house?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. But I am shocked at the amount of dog waste mm-hmm. I see left. I mean, shocked. But I never see the culprit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just once, man, maybe twice, and I've called them out on it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the point where I've yelled across, you know, I've got an extra bag, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, type of thing. Just to flat out embarrass them, you know. But it is. It's those few bad apples that just don't care, you know.
And, you know, in the year, short year that I've been here, I've been trying. That's one of my things. I've been trying to educate articles, you know, in magazine, in the Alloy Neighbors, on the website, different things, just to try to get that information into people's hands that at least you know what the rules are of being a responsible pet owner, you know, and, you know, what our rules are with regards to the parks. And
Is there a fine for that?
There
you don't pick up your...
Oh, there should be. It should
yes,
be huge.
Yes, there is.
There is one.
There
what is it?
Unfortunately, who police...
Who is enforcing it, yeah. Are there poop...
dispensers, bag dispensers?
Yeah,
yes.
And little, you know, waste bags. I know along a lot of the Colorado trails, you'll see them.
Yeah.
Like Disney World.
Village rules...
35 feet.
Village rules prohibit throwing animal waste in the garbage. So take that as you may.
There's garbage cans at every park.
Village rules prohibit the throwing of animal waste in the garbage.
Even your own garbage.
Even your own garbage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. So.
That's why you see all those on the trail.
Sure.
There you go. So
you
anyway.
Know, you know, that pet education that you're talking about, though, I salute you. It's a great idea. Continue to do it. But the people that are allowing their dogs to do that, not reading up, they're not reading it anyway.
Yes, I know.
So.
I know.
I see it all the time. Nice sign there, no pets.
I saw a picture. Well, it was on Matt's desk. It was a picture for our next...
All About Alloway.
For next year.
There's a sign that says no dogs allowed. And
it was, the no pets, the green no pets allowed sign, and there were three deer standing right behind it. No pets in parks. There's three deer standing right there.
I'll tell you what, those deer on that trail are getting more and more tame. I got from me to you away from one.
Yeah.
And it was, finally it started to kind of spook me, so I kind of rattled it. It was like,
You're invading on his turf.
I know I'm in your turf, but right now we're getting just a little bit too close. So
sure. So yeah. Okay. I think that's something that we explore how pet friendly is our community. So next one, playground improvements. That's a standard item. Just need to make sure that our playgrounds are there's a lifespan on them. And we just need to make sure that we update them as they need to be updated. And with that, one thing to look at, it's included in every one of the recommendations where there's a park, but poured-in-place servicing. In the industry, we're seeing it more and more all around. As parks are getting, playgrounds are getting replaced, they're putting that type of surfacing in as a long-term solution to wood chips. Those type of playgrounds get a lot more use. They're cleaner. You know, people that utilize them appreciate it. You know, go right down here to Optimus Park and you see that. So, but will everyone get that? I don't think so. You know, it's not necessarily cost effective to do everyone, but you know, select few, it might be beneficial. So, preservation, conservation, that. You know, that talks about making sure that we, you know, preserve and some of our natural areas and, you know, that we have those buffers and, areas along our rivers and that just left natural. So. Program considerations, that's, you know, more along Matt's realm of things. But talks about looking at some of the programs that we need to look at offering for the community. The population is aging, so we definitely need to look at more senior type programs, as well as one thing that popped out at me, a couple of comments in the survey as well, was have offerings for the family. That are maybe not necessarily during the daytime, that they're when families can attend, in the evenings, weekends, and that. Another thing was utilization of our rivers, as recreational opportunities. So try to utilize more paddle sports, those type of outdoor activities and that. So those are some of the things we'll be looking at, definitely. Service group volunteer involvement, continue to work with our sport groups and different service groups, beautification committee, groups like that, and try to involve, new volunteers as we can. Staffing considerations, in looking at some of our park staff and recreation staff, we're starting to, because of more opportunities that we're offering and standard level of service and things like that, Some of the things we're doing, we're starting to maximize our capabilities with the current staff that we have, so we just need to look at ways to get things done. You know, and maybe that, not necessarily hiring new staff, but maybe it's, you know, new technologies to look at, or, you know, certain things that we do, whether it's operations or a project, maybe we look at contracting those type of works out, or whatnot. So just something that we need to keep in mind as we're, you know, going forward. So, and not everything necessarily is going to cost money.
Well, I'm not.
No,
I'm
not.
Spend it where needed.
Yeah, you know. I agree. Trail development. That was probably the highest rated item that I saw on the survey, was, you know, trails. This community loves trails. And put more in where we can, and try to, you know, get more of that connectivity, especially with the East and East River Trail and the Fox River Trail. So I think that's definitely something in the, you know, mid to long-term range that we're definitely be looking at, is how can we, you know, get those connectors put in. So, for instance, would be working with something down along the Alloway-DePere border along LeBron. You know, there's a section in there where we could put trail in. That's a currently there's no road or sidewalk through there. And do we potentially look at working with the Abbey to try to find a way to get some trail network going down through part of their properties, or, you know, so there's some opportunity, I think, there. Mm-hmm. So
is the 170, the corridors on the side of 172, are they big enough to do a trail?
Yes, there's some potential there. We started. That's
really?
Where our new trail is,
right.
Up by Heritage Hill. Yeah. Is there?
Who cut in the GoPack on the side of that hill?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking
That's
about.
That's cool.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I like that.
I'm guessing whoever it was that cuts the grass down along the edge of that trail, but
is that state though, or is that, or do we maintain that, or does the state maintain that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I like it. We can start the tape again.
That project right there was 10 year in the making, I think it was, just to get that trail.
Really.
It's not easy working with the DOT on projects.
Uh-huh.
It takes some time, but that's a potential opportunity because there is quite a bit of property.
I didn't even know that it had been started.
Yeah, but, you know, as you go down by Libel, you know, there's a lot of land between where the highway actually is,
mm-hmm.
and where that fence is in the backyards. So there's some potential in there too. You know, do we, you know,
at the base of that trail, the new one, alongside of 172, to the south side of that, down by the Fox River. Is that designated state park?
On the other side of the 172?
Yeah, if you're heading west on mm-hmm. the trail, heading towards the Fox River,
right,
to the south side as you're underneath the bridge, is that considered...
South side of the bridge?
Yeah.
Across from the prison?
Yes.
Yes, that is state park.
That is state.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Not you, but
correct. We recently inquired about that, and it's in their longer range planning.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then lastly, waterfront access and recreation. You know, once again, looking at utilizing the rivers, you know, and how we can best access them, and, you know, update some access points, canoe, kayak launches, and offer outdoor opportunities for those. So I see a few people that kayak down the river, and I think that the East River, and I think that is an excellent opportunity for, you know, some different types
of
things.
It stained our paddle board brown.
I am not going to say anything about, you know,
the water
quality.
That is good.
I know it.
years ago.
Yeah, the Fox Derby was really bad years ago, too.
You know, and this is on a different topic, but it's my contention is that, you know, we do all this effort to clean it up in Alloway, the East River.
Yeah.
But the contaminant's coming from way up past Ledgeview. You know, where there are no restrictions, and it's all that farm runoff that's in there.
And that's what I was curious about, the communities working together.
Like we're trying to clean the back end of the funnel, you know.
Yeah.
Put a big filter at the property line. And
yeah.
Is there are the fish any good in the river, or do people fish?
Yeah.
People fish there.
People fish.
Recreational fishing, it's not edible fishing.
Yeah.
Sheephead, bullhead, carp.
From what I've heard recently from the DNR, there's a surprising diversity there.
There is.
That you wouldn't expect to be there.
It depends how close you get to the Fox River.
They did.
Right.
They checked.
They're not fishing. They're not getting
there's perch. They did
perch
some.
There's game fish in there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they did some. pulled some samples from whatever stream that is right by the right place. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
But, they were surprised by some of the diversity they found in there.
Huh. Well, and you'd be amazed at different times of the year how fish utilize different bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
During the spring spawning, fish will go where they don't normally live.
Pike spawn at ditches. So.
Exactly.
DNR guy, and I'm not a fishery guy, and I'm not a park and ranch guy, you know, in terms of an educational background. But I think common sense would tell you that since retention ponds were put in,
mm-hmm.
and you get birds that are flying in, and the eggs are connected to their feet, then they land in there, and then they spawn, and that's how you get a diversity of those fish in those.
No.
Because those are draining into those ponds. Sure.
Well, like pike, when you see it, you can directly see pike spawning right on the shore. You can physically see them.
When I was in Howard, they had, over by Barkhausen, they have the ditches there. They have, you can stand there and watch them,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the spring as the water, if the water comes up, you know, they'll swim right up in there.
They'll go very far up. And it's not just seeing the eggs. I mean, you can see the fish spawning.
Yeah, it's cool. The water quality has gotten a lot better.
What's the time period of that improvement?
Shoot. I remember when I was in high school, the Fox River was, before they started cleaning that up, that was not something, we fished it, but we would not keep a fish out of there.
Basically, it's a Clean Water Act.
But,
there's record muskie being taken out of there.
Now you see muskie in there. Now you see pelicans, loons, things like that you would not see in a contaminated body of water. So it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think that communities are starting to realize what the benefits that they can utilize these bodies of water for and not just industrial work waterways.
Sure.
You know, that they're recreational. Has
anything been done, I guess, in terms of regulation on the smaller community level where there is some regulation for farms especially? Because that does seem
agricultural runoff is our next big
big problem. But
yeah.
I mean, if you're saying that there is more regulation in the communities and upstream is where you're having difficulty, what's being done here that's different from there? I'm just curious what kind of, what's being implemented.
Bonds. Yeah.
And is it easy to do? And is it, something?
It's more at the state level with regards to, especially when you're talking farming and agriculture and, runoffs, things like that. And the regulations that they set at state level typically, we're finding more and more municipal, the lower you go down in the government, we can't be more restrictive. So, we're seeing that yearly now that as they change rules at the state level.
So there isn't really a higher level of regulation here. It is
not
simply that there isn't as much.
Well, I think the improvements that we see are not because of different policies that we have with regard to runoff.
Uh-huh.
There's been other changes that have occurred. The runoff, agricultural runoff, has always been a problem, but it's actually becoming more of a problem because we have so many concentrated animal feeding operations. Just we're getting more of them. There's just too many cows on the land in Brown County, basically, and it's a large issue that is even more of a problem if you go east of here in Kewaunee, where people can't even drink their water because there's so much runoff. So
mm-hmm.
it's
So, yeah.
Much larger effort that hopefully there'll be some improvements because we have a total maximum daily load plan that is starting to be implemented, but that's going to take decades to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. You know, things are getting better. It's not a quick turnaround.
Sure.
It just takes a while. So, okay. Any questions with regards to any of the general recommendations? No? Okay. The next section is more the specific proposals and recommendations for each park area. A few things that I think you should focus on or look at with regards to these are playground equipment. Each of the park facilities, you know, we have them listed in here for replacement of play equipment, but whether that's a short-term priority or a long-term priority, that's more depicted on how old the equipment is. So
will this column be completed, this priority column eventually? That,
yeah, exactly. Okay. That's something that I and the consultants will work on as in looking at, unless there's something that jumps out at you guys that you think that, really needs to be looked at early. Otherwise, you know, longer range, we're looking at short, medium, and long range. Short is 1 to 5 years. Medium is 5 to 10 years. And long range is longer than 10 years. By the time we get to the long range, we're redoing this plan.
Yeah.
You know, by the time we get to medium range, we're redoing this plan. So we're re-looking at those type of things as well. But it gives us an idea of what is needed in these park areas or what is wanted in these park areas. And, you know, looking at estimated costs of what things may cost to replace or implement. And then, you know, the biggest thing is how do we prioritize them? What takes priority over another thing? So another item to make sure to look at is accessibility, ADA compliance. That's something that we're going to have to continually look at on an annual basis. You know, that's a regulation that we have to come into compliance with. And so, you know, how we do that, for instance, looking at all of our playgrounds, we need to make sure that they're accessible to get to them. Our recreational facilities, you know, can somebody in a wheelchair get to where a ball diamond is or a soccer field so they can watch that? Those are the types of things that we have to look at. So, parking needs, I know that's a big one, I think. You know, if you look at almost every one of the parks, you can see that the parking lot has been expanded or redone or whatnot. But, you know, that's something to take a look at as well. Facility improvements, you know, some of our buildings are outdated and just need to be either updated or renovated, maybe raised and rebuilt. And then trails. You know, those were some of the key items that I thought that to keep in mind as you're looking through these specific proposals. So, I don't want to go through each one of these tonight. I was just going to pick out one or two and take a look at them, just to give you an idea of some of the things that, you know, the consultants and I were looking at with when we take all that information, all that needs assessments and everything from the survey and whatnot from staff, and, you know, from ideas from all over the place. So I'll take a look at Webster Park, for instance. If you look at that park, which is page 57, 58, as you go down this list here of proposed developments, site lighting, that was installed. They put that in every park, and that's to take a look at do all of our park facilities have adequate and efficient lighting? You know, are they, do we need to update our lighting and our area lighting, different things like that? And in looking at our parks, a lot of them need it. You know, do we need to make sure that they have the most efficient, energy-efficient type of lighting that we can get? Play equipment, once again. In this particular park, the play equipment was installed in 2004, so it's relatively new. And industry standards, play equipment of this type is usually, you get a 20-year lifespan out of it. And it needs to, you know, you're starting to look at needing to replace it. So for this instance, we would think about replacement year 2024, 2025, right around that time period. Poured in place surfacing, that'd be that rubberized surfacing. Perimeter walk, that perimeter walk with drainage you're talking about is to go around that playground, is to have a concrete walkway, which is accessible, you know, via wheelchair, completely around that walkway. ADA accessible route, once again, you know, access or walkway up to the playground. Backstops and fencing replacement, in working with our youth baseball program. You know, some of these things are what they have prioritized as some needs for their facilities that they utilize there as well. That we didn't have a price for it yet, but you know, those will be needed probably in the 5 to 10 year time period. You know, they're starting to get in pretty rough shape. Netting, one of their requests is look at netting around the concession stand from foul balls, home run balls, different things like that from the play. So we'll take a look at that. Bleachers and bleacher pads, concrete, things to take a look at. Scoreboards, parking lot resurfacing, additional parking. I told him, I said, see what you can do to maximize parking at this location, even though there's not a lot. And in talking with the baseball group, for instance, you know, those down at that far east end, the bottom of the page, there's two ball diamonds down there that they very rarely utilize. And, you know, they said that they'd be willing to give them up for parking. So, you know, this is just a preliminary idea of what something that could be done to try to accommodate some additional parking. Shelter concession replacement, the building that's up by the playground, that's, you know, very getting very old and is in need of some work. Tennis court resurfacing. Walks and trails. We heard from a few people of a possibility of looking at a perimeter walkway around that park, you know, to kind of encompass, you know, being able to utilize that whole area as a walking route. Park sign allowance and security allowance and site furnishings, those are in every one of the parks, you know, to upgrade our park signage. And security allowances to standardize our facility lock system and surveillance if needed, those type of things. Site furnishings would be picnic tables, benches, those bicycle racks, those type of items. So those are some of the things. You know, if as you're going through here, you know, if something jumps out at you that, you know, we're missing, you know, in any of the parks, please feel free to let me know. And we can, you know, we tried to touch on everything that was, you know, we thought made sense and was good for that facility. Then, you know, another one, one of the bigger parks, bigger dollar item, Green Isle Park. When you look at that facility and some of the things that,
what page is that on?
I'm sorry.
What page is that
60.
On?
That is 60. 60 and 61. Okay. A couple of the different things, with that have been talked about. Tennis court lighting. Lighting the tennis courts to, accommodate usage. And at all of our facilities that have tennis courts, that this one makes the most sense. Nobody lives that close, that if you were going to light tennis courts, that would be the place to do it.
It's such a premier park already, too. Mm-hmm. It takes very little just to take it from that 4.5 stars to 5. It's just such a beautiful area.
And I agree with you. And there's a couple of other items in there that canoe launch.
But was there ever a discussion at all about related to canoe launch, like a boathouse where you could rent equipment?
There is.
Okay.
And that is a potential future step. One of the things that actually one of our other trustees talked to him about in some other communities where they have, kayak and canoe facilities where they rent them out, or where you can storage, near a water body where you can pay a fee and store your kayak there, so you don't have to haul it back and forth, all those type of things. So, I think that that's a potential next step for us as a recreation department is an offering, similar to that. Whether we do it in house or we look at our contractor to come in and they provide that and the village gets a cut or what, there's all sorts of avenues to look at. But I agree, that's definitely something to take a look at in the future.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh no, that's quite right.
I'm excited about the boathouse.
Yeah. for instance, the canoe launch at this location, nobody knows where it is. As you pull into that park and you see all the Phragmites off to the left side, that used to be a canoe launch.
Really?
And it has since, filled in and been choked with Phragmites. But the potential is there that, we could take a look at. Do we want to dredge it out, and re?
So there isn't even, it's just filled in with Phragmites. There's not even water right there anymore?
There's a you could see a little trickle.
About 10 years ago, that all burnt out.
Yeah.
It's all grown back.
Yeah.
What is there a stream flowing through there? Is that why there's?
There is. There is. And it goes from that pond that's over by the highway, and there's a little stream that flows back behind there.
I've never really looked at your photo for that area, but you can see it now.
So, but that, that's something, and, I talked to the consultant about that. I said, do we leave it in there, or do we just take it out? And he's like, is there a potential in the future of doing it? I said, yeah. So let's...
Just got to get the Phragmites out of there.
Yeah, exactly. And everything's doable. Some things cost a little bit more money than others.
What would you be looking at? I mean, it says TBD, but...
We don't know yet.
No idea. Yeah,
we haven't had a chance to, in this short period of time, to come up with any numbers yet for that. So, and you'll see that in a few other spots in here. There are some items that we just haven't had a chance to come up with dollar figures yet. So,
what is the cost for the canoe launch? Just the removal of Phragmites?
My guess that would be dredging and just make it an accessible location again. Okay. Start with that, and then you could go from there with any other items.
Because currently, if you take that trail around to the bridge and you go over the bridge and take an immediate right, there's a canoe launch right there.
Right.
In Bellevue.
Yeah, can you even get there with a car?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, you can.
In Bellevue. And, and that has an ADA accessible launch too that they just put in this year,
this past summer they put it in.
Yeah. So, with a lot of usage, so much usage, I even get calls from people saying, "Nice launch, and can you do something about that?" And I said, "Sorry, it's in. Here's my cohort in Bellevue. You want to give her a call?" that was something for this facility. Looking at redoing our entryway to that park. It's very sad shape right now, and that's something that definitely needs to be looked at, along with some of the other items that we have listed there. Parking expansion. That if you look at the nice little drawing, you see some darker parking lots, and we discussed that, and how can we maximize some parking? And I think they've come up with some innovative ideas. My initial thought was, do we dare go in the middle of the wooded area? That would be inside of where the roadway goes. There's that wooded area, but I think with what their ideas have been in not going in those locations and kind of just expanding what we currently have is something pretty innovative. So.
Yeah, those woods are fantastic.
Right.
Okay. This road up here on the top is this East River Drive.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I can even see your house.
Don't tell him.
Okay.
Stalkers, I can see all of them.
So, there's a few items that I've noticed that in going through this, I've only had it for the same amount of time that you have, some typographical errors, some things that we've talked about and they put in the wrong spot that we need to clean up. We'll definitely do before next meeting. But that gives you an idea. Please feel free. Go through these. Any questions, feel free to call me, email me. Any ideas, anything that you think that we should or should not include, feel free to do that.
I have a question. Sure. East Lawn Park, when was that play equipment put in?
East Lawn was
44.
2002.
Okay, I visited that park for the first time just recently because that was one park I'd never been to.
Sure.
And why is that play equipment so tall? Like, did something happen where the soil level was higher and then it dropped down?
I thought the same thing when I first saw
it.
It's like an adult playground.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I guess I've never really looked at it that
to
close.
To even get on it, you have to like really step up. Like, a 3-year-old had no chance of even getting on the equipment.
And I'll have to take a look at that. When you're walking across the bars at the top, she's just way up there.
There, dangling way up there. I don't know. Everything is like so tall.
Yeah, there are.
It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids kind of park or something.
There are standards that we need to make sure that, as far as height above things,
yeah,
we may not have enough wood chip fill in there.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I didn't know if maybe there was flooding in the area that caused kind of subsidence and everything's up
right
there. I don't know. It's kind of strange.
There are different types of playgrounds. Playgrounds are usually put into a couple different categories, age group categories. They typically have toddler-type playgrounds that will go up to age 3-4 and then more older kids that go 5-7 up to 12 years old.
Yeah, this would definitely
have to be older. There's different types of age groups for playgrounds, but no, that's definitely something I need to look at.
Yeah, it was just kind of strange.
If it's that tall,
it's been like that either. So it hasn't always been like that because when my kids were little, we used to live over closer to Astor Park, but we would bike down to that park.
Oh, okay.
So there must be like
settlement.
Well, the other strange is the little picture thing that you put together that was put on backwards. So you can only see the picture from the outside, and you have to be very tall to be able to reach up there and arrange the things to see the picture.
I know what you're talking about.
Because I was trying to ask my daughter what she saw, and she's like, and I'm like, you don't see that whatever animal is. And she's like, no. So had to go around to her side and say, you can't do it.
I've seen that at other playgrounds too. Not necessarily here, but where when you flip them up,
so that was an interesting trip. That was my first time to East Lawn Park and figure out how to check it out.
I'll definitely take a look at that. That's interesting. All right. Any questions or comments, right now? I don't want to keep you guys super late, so.
Oh, it's looking pretty good.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I
I didn't realize we had 11 soccer fields.
One, two, three, four, five, six, and five is 11. It is.
That's a lot. You've got eight in a really close area, though.
Yeah.
You've got Broadview and Kiwanis.
It may sound like a lot, but if you look at some of the other communities around here, they're not very many. You know, when I was in college, we had one facility with a tent just at one park. And I think we told in total out there we had 19 soccer fields in the pack. So, you know, it's one of those things that
it has.
But you ask any user group that uses facilities like that, they don't have enough. You ask the baseball people, they don't have enough food. Sure. You ask the soccer people, they don't have enough food. And, you know, there's not enough facilities anywhere, you know, for some of these groups. So,
you know, same with basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I think should be long-term thinking. Community center.
Sure.
Be of that nature.
Sure.
And rent it.
Sure.
Because
run it like a business.
Yeah. You. No showers, just a changing room.
Yeah.
You know, I actually consider doing it independently.
Sure. It takes a lot up front, right? All righty.
Gym floors are expensive.
My stuff. There we are. Okay. Well, that's good. So, yeah, take a look at that. Everybody has my email and contact info as well. Feel free to get in touch with me. Any ideas? Next meeting, we'll have a more complete plan with all the updates and that. So, next item. Well, there's no one here for public comments, so we'll move on to item number 8. Determine the date for the next meeting. Several people, our next meeting was supposed to be is supposed to be November 24th. Several people have indicated they're not going to be able to make that meeting because it's the week of Thanksgiving, as well as the night of a budget hearing meeting. So.
Those things just never end.
Yeah, exactly.
You realize
so, I was wondering if the committee would be okay with switching it to possibly the 18th, the 19th, or the 30th.
19th would be out for me.
Me as well.
Okay. 18th is a Wednesday, and the 30th is a Monday.
And either one of those would be fine with me.
Same with me.
They all work for me.
Any concerns? 18th. How's that sound?
30th? It'd be difficult.
I'm just thinking the 18th, so.
I'm just trying to think of when my daughter's coming into town. If it's that week or not. That's right.
Okay.
18th.
Well, okay. We'll do it. 18th. Thank you. All right. Any future agenda items? Anybody has right now? I've been trying to concentrate on this item and get through it, and then we'll move on to some other items that have come up. So, after the first meeting. So.
This address always come up as the St. Joseph's Orphanage Asylum?
No,
that's
why?
That's usually Bell and Syke that comes up that way. Yeah,
wow.
I know, it's weird. I used to run by Bell and Syke all the time, and I've had people... When my run would post on Facebook, like, why are you running by an orphanage asylum? I'm like, yeah, I don't know why it's listed that way. Google does that, yeah.
Okay.
Same time, 6:30?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And this replaces the one on the 24th.
Yeah. Correct. And I'll send out that information ahead of time. There we go. All right. With that, can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Rob, seconded by Angela. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.
Hey, is the copy machine still on?
Yeah.
Need to spend some copies for Carlo.
My husband and I lived in Pueblo,
yes.
Colorado for 2 years.
It might be on
You're
sleep.
You're kidding. I worked at CC Pueblo. Yeah, I was an adjunct there, and then that's where our studio is, main PBS studio.